Today is week three on our series on hospitality, creating a wide welcome to whoever we meet in our lives. If you've missed any of these so far, I'd encourage you to check out our website. All of our sermons are online thanks to the hard work of Dave Miedema and Jason Morin in the back filling in today on the camera. You can watch or listen to the sermons and a lot of the special music we've done. So I'd encourage you to catch up there if you have missed any. So far, we've talked about showing hospitality to God and showing hospitality to ourselves. This week, we're shifting a little. We're going to talk about what it looks like to show hospitality to those we hold most dear, our friends, our family, those we've chosen to go through life with. It becomes a little more difficult because we're no longer just talking about taking care of us and showing love to ourselves, but we're talking about loving and caring for those around us as well. We have some helpful words from the Apostle Paul. He talks about what it means to be in meaningful relationship with one another, and what kind of lives that we should strive to live for if we're going to honor God with our relationships with one another. Here in the book of Colossians, Paul has just reminded us that because of the new life in Christ that we have been given, our lives have been transformed, and therefore our actions should be transformed as well. So he tells us how we should interact, and he's most specifically talking about how we as a body of Christ should interact in love with one another. But it's a good reminder for how we should treat all people that we encounter as well. Hear God's word this morning from Colossians 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It seems to me that the most important things in life aren't things at all. We spend our days busy going to meetings with our to-do lists, with the tasks and chores put before us. But the thing that fills our life with joy is the relationships that we have, the people that we know, those we have chosen to go through life with. Having somebody to come home to at the end of the day, the laugh of a child, a friend that you can call day or night and know that they will be there with you. People you know that love you, who care about you, who know your story and have shared your journey. People that'll have your back no matter how bad things get. And it's these people especially, those who we hold dearest to our hearts, our family by blood or by choice, that give life such great richness. The relationships that bring us joy and strength, bring us comfort and encouragement. These people serve as a reminder of God's love for us, his faithfulness to us, age after age. And it's a great gift from God to be able to be so close to select people in our lives. The challenge with these kinds of relationships, though, is that with intimacy comes great vulnerability. When we're in close relationship with someone, when we open our hearts to them, we open ourselves up to risk, to danger as well. We put ourselves in a position of maybe getting hurt somewhere down the line, because the people who are closest to us have the ability to hurt and disappoint us the most. And human relationships are never easy. Emotions are always messy. And sometimes this does cause great pain. And so I think the temptation is to hold ourselves back from these relationships, to build walls and to protect ourselves from getting hurt, never letting ourselves get too close to another. And yet when we do this, we deny ourselves the joy of that kind of intimacy, and we deny others the wide welcome that God has commanded us to give. Reverend Nanette Sawyer has a great example of this in her book, Hospitality, the Sacred Art. Nanette said she met a friend who was so incredibly warm and outgoing that everybody loved her. She described her as a beacon of light, and people just flocked to her. She was the kind of person that made you feel good about yourself, made you feel happy and loved and warm. But she said as she became closer friends with this woman, she started to see the cracks in the foundation of this woman's love. And the woman had shared stories of her own brokenness and her own woundedness, and the fears that had been instilled in her over the course of her challenging life. And the woman confessed that it was easier for her to be welcoming and gracious with somebody that she did not know than it was to be close with somebody who knew her every thought, because it was easier to be nice to somebody who didn't have the ability to hurt you or to let you down. So Nanette said as she became closer to this woman over time, something became more difficult about their relationship, and the fear and the wounds that this woman had experienced started to rear their ugly heads and create distance and separation in their friendship. And over time, eventually, she said that the two women drifted apart, unable to overcome these differences, unable to overcome this fear of intimacy. And I think this woman's story has a lot to teach us. It illustrates the real risk of opening your heart to another, the real cost of entering into a relationship with somebody that's meaningful, that touches us, that has the ability to bring us both great joy and great pain. Because when we open ourselves up to these kinds of relationships, there is a chance of getting hurt. We have to work through the challenges of our own brokenness, our own wounds, our own fears. We have to do the hard work of intimacy and love. And yet the call to hospitality is the call to create a wide welcome in your life for another, to open yourself up to this kind of relationship and to deal with the issues as they arise. I think it's especially hard working on these issues with those closest to us because we can't hide our real selves. It's easy to be friendly with a coworker at work because you only see them for a few minutes. It's easy to be nice to somebody in passing or to pretend like you're generous or that you have it all together, that you have life figured out. But when you live together or when you spend your life going through life with another person, with a close friend, with a beloved loved one, we start to see the cracks in our own foundations, don't we? That perfect facade starts to break apart and it becomes obvious that none of us have it all together. We can't pretend to be something we're not, and our little annoyances start to rub on each other more than they might with just an acquaintance. So if you are a messy person naturally living with a clean person, you can only pretend to be clean for so long before your true self comes out. If you're an introvert and have a best friend who's an extrovert, there will be conflict about how much time you spend together, how much you interact. If you love the outdoors and your best friend hates them, eventually it's gonna cause tension and friction because you can only pretend for so long. And eventually these cracks become so apparent that it does lead to challenges. It leads to the kind of difficulty that we've all experienced in those relationships that we hold most dear. It becomes impossible to hide our annoying habits or our personality flaws. Our sin and brokenness starts to affect those around us. It's with those we are closest to that these issues make the most trouble and cause the most problems. And yet it is with these same people we are called to live our life out with. Family, however you define it, is never neat and tidy. Emotions are messy, our hearts are flawed. And yet it's within this context that we are called to practice loving each other like Christ loved us. And so we practice giving and receiving forgiveness. We practice bearing with one another in love. we practice accepting people just as they are and offering a wide welcome to whatever we discover about another person. I think this is one of the ways that God smooths out our rough edges, by putting us in relationship with people who are different than us, by letting these differences come up and cause tension. And dealing with these situations over and over again, God smooths out our rough edges, makes us more like Him, teaches us what His character is truly about. I think that's one of the things that makes the church so special, about the body of believers that God has called to any particular place. It's not that we're perfect. It's not that we have it all figured out, but that we get to practice loving each other like Christ loved us. And it paints the picture, the kind of love that God has for each of us. It paints a picture for the world to see. It teaches us the true meaning of grace. It's why the Apostle Paul tells us that we should clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness, with patience. Because when we interact with people who are different than us, we're going to need these characteristics. We're going to need compassion. We're going to need kindness. We're going to need humility and gentleness. And we will need to learn patience. It is together as we gather with those closest to us that we are shaped into Christ's image and we practice loving the way God loves us. Hospitality, then, is about accepting people just as they are, not necessarily how we might want them to be. It's offering a wide welcome to our friends, no matter what the pains or challenges that day might bring. It's about learning to accept people for who they are and not who we want them to be. Not trying to fit somebody into a mold or keep them in a box, but learning to love them and accept them in spite of these differences. It's easy for us to think that everybody should be just like us, that we have it right, we have it figured out, and everybody else would do so much better if they just acted and behaved more like we did. And yet that's not how God has created us. He has created each and every one of us distinctly, uniquely in His image. And together as a family, as friends, as a church, we learn to honor those differences and to live with them together. I have a funny story, a little bit an embarrassing story to share with you about how I learned this lesson about loving and accepting people in spite of their differences. When Aaron and I were first married, I definitely fell into the camp that there was a right way and a wrong way to do things. And my way was the right way. And I would always get annoyed with Aaron because he'd put the toilet paper roll on backwards. And I couldn't understand why somebody wouldn't pay attention to this, because there's obviously a right way to put the toilet paper roll on. So why wouldn't you do it? But I kind of wrote it off as Aaron being a little less anal than I am, a little more of a free spirit. And I just thought maybe he wasn't paying attention. So half the time he got it on wrong and, you know, I would just live with it. So I did him a favor. Whenever he put it on backwards, I'd go and fix it for him. And I'd turn it around. Over and over again, I'd fix the toilet paper roll. And this sweet, sweet man never said anything. He just bore with me in my neuroses. Until eventually I realized it wasn't that he put it on some of the time backwards, but that he always put it on backwards. And not only did he put the toilet paper roll on backwards, he'd put the paper towel roll on backwards. And the more that I watched him do this, the more it occurred to me that maybe he was doing it on purpose. Maybe he was putting it on the correct way, but that what was right for him wasn't right for me. And I was dumbfounded that somebody could have a different opinion than I did on something so basic as which way the toilet paper roll went on. It never even occurred to me that that would be a matter of preference or that people might differ on this thing. And what a jerk I had been going around and fixing his problems all this time. And so began this lifelong process of realizing that not everybody's like me. Not everybody does things the way I do. Not everybody likes the same things I like. Not everybody wants the same things to happen the way that I would want them to happen. I don't know, maybe you guys figured this out earlier than I did, but it took me a while. But it was such a tangible illustration about how people can disagree about two things, and that when we're called into relationship, we have to figure out how to deal with those disagreements. But it leads to tension. There's so many ways that we disagree, or we might have different preferences or different opinions about how things should get done. And it's not that one is right and the other's wrong, but that God has created us all differently. We need to learn what it looks like to love and show compassion and to bear with one another in that. It means that what I think is right for music might be different than what you think is right for music, might be different than somebody else thinks is right for music. Doesn't mean that there's one right answer, but that God has created us all differently. It might mean that we approach problems in a different way. That one person might think that if you have a problem, you jump head in and you run as fast as you can towards the solution. When another person might say, well, no, of course, first you pause and you reflect and you consider. But when you have people who deal with problems in such different ways, you get conflict when you put them together without talking about it first. You might run into conflict when planning a vacation or a trip with somebody. One person's ideal vacation might be to go and be adventurous and to try as many things as possible and to do as much as you can, as quickly as you can. While another person might think that the purpose of vacation is sleeping in and reading a good book all day. You run into conflict because of the way we're built, that we were each shaped uniquely by God with differences, that there's no right and wrong. But what's important is how you learn how to deal with those differences, to live with them. Part of hospitality then is making a wide welcome of these differences, making room for people to have different opinions than you, or to like doing things a different way, or to have different preferences, but to accept people just how they are. Woundedness, brokenness, preferences aside. The call to hospitality is to accept both ourselves and the other and learn to live together in those differences. Hospitality is also about making room for each other's shortcomings. It's not just that we have difference of opinions, that we prefer different things, but sometimes we have character flaws. Let's be honest, all the time we have character flaws, things that hurt each other, that annoy each other, things that we wish were different about ourselves. We are called to bear with each other and to learn to forgive the way the Lord has forgiven us. None of us are perfect. We all have scars. We all have wounds. We all have things we wish were different, things that we're not proud to share with the world, but things that affect how we live our lives and how we interact with those who are closest to us. And because of this brokenness, we are going to hurt each other. There will be need for forgiveness. There will be need for grace in these relationships. Part of this journey is learning to forgive and to move on and to pursue healing and wholeness together. There's one book, Radical Hospitality. It talks about a Benedict's way of life, and it talks about a monk's way of offering hospitality. I think the authors of this book really capture it beautifully, what it means to provide a warm welcome, even if there's a chance of risk involved. They say people disappoint us when they are doing the very best that they can. None of us starts out in life mature. None is automatically good at living. We need other people to help us grow. And sometimes it's the one who is the most difficult to be around that we need the most. Sometimes we are the most difficult to be around, and then we need grace and acceptance. Our relationships are the soil from which we grow a heart capable of caring. Isn't that a great way to think about it, that our relationships are the soil from which we grow a heart capable of caring? None of us are perfect. All of us are learning how to be more like Christ. We're all in need of grace. Sometimes, some days, we need more grace than others. Sometimes we have to strive to forgive and offer that grace to those around us. But to trust that when people disappoint us, that they're doing the very best that they can. Part of being hospitable is recognizing where we're going and to let others offer healing when they need it. The pains and disappointments from those closest to us are going to hurt more than those that might happen from an acquaintance or somebody that we meet in passing by. But it's these deep, intimate relationships that shape us and help make us more like Christ. Hospitality, then, is forgiving to forgive, like Christ forgave, allowing for people's shortcomings, making room in our lives to bear with each other's suffering. Hospitality is so much more than just entertaining or keeping a clean house or throwing good parties, but it's about making room in your life for another, accepting people just as they are, and learning together what it looks like to follow in Christ's example and to offer his love to the world. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you have loved us so extravagantly, so unconditionally, and so abundantly. We thank you for those that you have placed in our lives that have made such a difference, the gift of friends and family, people to journey through life together. We ask that you would teach us to be more patient, more humble, to bear with one another when there are difficulties, disturbances, frustrations, pains. We ask that you would teach us to forgive like you forgave and to love in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Crowned now in many crowns, you reign victorious. Son of God, the darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the
Thank you for worshiping with us this morning, and hope you join us in the back for our little celebration. So we go out today, receive the blessing of God. May the beauty of God be reflected in your eyes, the love of God be reflected in your hands, the wisdom of God be reflected in your words, and the knowledge of God flow from your heart, that all might see, and in seeing, believe. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You've been so good. You've been so good. You've been so good. You've been so good. And I just want to thank you, Lord. You saved my soul. You saved my soul. You saved my soul. You saved my soul. And I want to thank